بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him and glorifying Him and sending peace and salutations upon His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A warm welcome to this week's edition of the program, Living the Legacy. It's all about us exploring and learning more, discovering what we can do to live a fulfilling life and leave behind a fruitful legacy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a long and righteous lives in which we can maximize and do the most amount of good deeds. Ameen. On today's program, you can look forward to our continuation of our series on the heart. Today, our esteemed guest is discussing the merciful heart. And for that, our guest today will be Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. Sheikh is the author, an author, a research manager at Yaqeen Institute, and an imam. And later on, we'll be hearing from Sheikh Ismail Kamdar more about the merciful heart. We also continue with our series on Surah Al-Furqan, the gems from the Surah. What can we learn from the commandments and the lessons of the Surah? And today, part 9, as we continue onwards with it. Now, as always, we begin this series or the program with some food for thought, some reflection. Today's was shared with me with a number of our listeners via email. And so if you have any inspiration or words of wisdom or any articles that you've come across and you'd love us to share with our audience, please feel free to send me an email to hana@radioislamlive.com or via WhatsApp or Telegram to +60 132 60 85 92. Today's piece is entitled Healing Wounded Hearts, Dealing with the Loss of a Loved One. A letter of condolence from Imran Kaji to a friend. So I'm going to read this and share it with you, and if you'd like a copy of it, please feel free to email or send me a text message and I will share it with you as well. I know that in the course of the last year, all of us have to some extent, to some degree, experienced loss. Loss of loved ones, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, relatives, in our community, ulama. So I thought to share this, which is just such a profound piece. It reads as, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah greatly reward you, inspire you with sabr, and guide us all to be grateful servants of His. Our lives, wealth, parents, wives, children and dear ones are all great wonderful gifts from Allah to us, and a trust which He has entrusted to us. We were meant to benefit from them for a stipulated time and then return them back to their original owner at the time He wishes to take them back. When we have the chance to enjoy these favors, Allah wishes us to make shukr. Now that He has tested us, He desires that we be patient and pleased with His decree. Your loved ones were such gifts from Allah and trusts who were entrusted to your care. Allah allowed you to benefit from them and granted you much happiness and joy from them. Now that He has taken them back into His care, He has promised you great reward. Salawat, special exclusive mercies which He will shower down upon you in lieu of the exclusive pain and difficulty you experience and which is known to none other but yourself. Rahmah, general mercies which are granted to His beloved servants. And Hidayah, which is the object of our lives, to walk the straight path till we reach our destination, which is Allah's love, recognition, ma'iyah, and pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also promised great rewards for the one who exercises sabr. Allah loves him. Surah Al Imran, Ayah 146. Allah is with him, and he will therefore help and assist him. Surah Al Baqarah, Ayat 153 and 249. Surah Al Anfal, Ayah 46 and 66. And that Allah will guide his heart to yaqeen. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 157, and Surah Taghabun, Ayah 11. Allah never takes anything from us without granting us a better substitute. What better substitute can there be than the love of Allah and His ma'iyah, togetherness? However, this will only be attained with sabr and ihtisab, expectation of reward. As for those who have passed on, what could be better for them than to be cared for and pampered by Allah? Allah says, I am with those whose hearts are broken. Sabr causes the hearts to be broken as it is bitter and difficult to bear. This difficulty you are facing will cause you to become nearer to Allah and to develop a strong bond with Allah. This is because sorrows and grief create feelings of weakness and humility in the heart and cause one to cry and weep. At such times, Allah's special communion and togetherness is experienced. Make the most out of that and beg Allah for your needs, as it is certainly a great opportunity of acceptance. The sunnah dua for you to recite is Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma zurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Verily, we belong to Allah, and to Him will we return. O Allah, reward me for undergoing this difficulty and loss, and grant me something better in replacement for what I have lost. In essence, we remind ourselves through this dua that we, along with our wealth, families and health, all belong to Allah. A true, unrestricted owner has the right to use his property and possessions as he wills, and none has the right to object or question his prerogative. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His unlimited kindness, has given us consolation that we are soon going to be rewarded in full for the difficulty we endured patiently when we return to Him after our death, and that we will soon reunite with our beloveds whom He had taken back when we return to Him. Our separation is only temporary, just for a period of a few days or years, whereas we will be reunited forever in the Akhirah. Man benefits fully from every sort of difficulty he experiences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself declares in the Quran, Surah Tawbah, Ayah 51, say to the Muslims, O Rasulullah, under no circumstances does any difficulty ever afflict any of us, except that Allah has decreed it for our benefit. He is our Mawla, our friend and helper. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you sabr jameel. May your grief not lead you to such actions which will destroy your reward, for that will certainly cause you regret on the day of Qiyamah. What was destined to happen had to happen and could never have been avoided. May Allah make them a treasure for you in the hereafter, and grant myself, yourself and the deceased the highest positions of Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. I make the very dua for your loved one and for all those who have passed away. which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for the family of Abu Salama after his tragic demise. O Allah, forgive them. Raise them in rank among the guided ones. You be their replacement in their family who are left behind. Forgive us and forgive them. O Rabb of the worlds, expand their grave for them, that is, by making it spacious and by protecting them from being squeezed in the grave, and make it bright with radiance for them, meaning save them from its darkness by filling it with noor. Wassalam, a friend, Imran Kaji. The source is Healing Wounded Hearts, Dealing with the Loss of a Loved One, A Gift to Console, Comfort and Support the Bereaved by Maulana Imran Kaji. If you'd like a copy of this letter, a letter of condolence by Maulana Imran Kaji, please feel free to send us an email. The email address is hana@radioislamlive.com or a WhatsApp or Telegram message to +60132608592. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who recognize the gifts in everyday life that Allah has blessed us with. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Our second aspect that we're going to focus on today in our reflection segment is this question that I want to ask you. It's written beautifully by Sister Shanaz Moose. She is a coach and therapist, and she wrote, "What is the last thing you think of at night? What is the first thing you think of when you wake up?" She writes, "For me, I end my day drifting off with gratitude to my Rabb, who is the most gracious. When I wake up, I am so excited and grateful to have been blessed with another day to serve for His pleasure and earn His mercy." She writes, "I was not always like this. In lower mind, ego consciousness, I would go to sleep angry and ungrateful and rise with it the next day. Nothing went right or was ever good enough. I was never thankful and grateful. The cycle ensured I remained stuck. I didn't get a better family or job or circumstances. I just learned to value and appreciate the one my Creator gifted me with. The individual journey requires awakening when you are ready and willing to take it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to increase our awareness to awakening. Ameen." And the quote that she concludes with is so beautiful. "A positive state of mind is not a luxury, but a necessity when striving to live a life of gratitude. Not everything will go your way daily, but looking for the best in even the worst situations is how you can show your Creator that you are mindful and grateful of how much worse it could have been." And that's really some food for thought. Think about it. What's the last thing you think of at night? And what's the first thing that you think of when you wake up in the morning? You know, it's something we all really take for granted. We take for granted, you know, our bedtime routine. We take for granted the fact that we had lived that entire day and been blessed, you know, with health and with iman and with energy and strength. We take this for granted that we'll have the next day. But none of us know, none of us have a guarantee if we're going to live to see the next day. And then that next day, when Allah gives us life and the gift of being able to wake up and experience a new day, what about that? Do we wake up grumbling, nasty, angry, bitter, full of dread, complaining and grumbling about all the things we have to do or that haven't been done? Or do we actually take a moment when we wake up to praise our Creator to thank Him for this new day, to shift our mindset and attitude so that we can approach the day with gratitude no matter what. May Allah grant us this understanding. May He make us the people of gratitude, reflection, and introspection. May we each find plenty to be grateful for, because there is so much every single day. And may we end each day also with gratitude to Allah. May we live with a sense of joy and excitement and eagerness, and always with husn al-dhan billah. In the next segment, we continue with our series on the gems of Surah Furqan. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the second segment of this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Wonderful to have you joining us, and we continue with our journey of learning about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gems, the wisdom, the beauty, the messages and meanings of Surah Al-Furqan. Now, ayah 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah tells us about when the heaven will be split asunder and the angels will descend in a grand descending. The ayah translation is, "Watch for the day the heavens will burst with clouds and the angels will be sent down in successive ranks." There is also a translation of Sahih International which is, "And mention the day when the heaven will split open with emerging clouds and the angels will be sent down in successive descent." So here again we are being taught that the heavens will split asunder and the angels will descend, and the way in which they descend will be in a grand descending order. Ayah 26 of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the true authority, Al-Mulk. On that day, true authority on that day will belong to Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate. وَكَانَ يَوْمًا عَلِ الْكَافِرِينَ عَسِيرًا. And it will be a hard day, a difficult day for the disbelievers. So, in Ayah 26, we learn through this that many people are owners, but it's not a real ownership, because once they die, their possessions all become someone else's. So this is a big deception. Think of if you've experienced a loss of a loved one and you now are tasked to take care and to round up the estate. That is no longer theirs, right? Because now that estate is divided in the Islamic world as per all the inheritors, and they receive it. It's no longer that person's anymore who owned it. Right? So this is a big deception that many of us still live with in this dunya. And even when we know this, we are so, you know, the illusion of the dunya is so beguiling to all of us. So it's a big deception when someone has authority and power and ownership. But the Quran shows us the reality of everything. Only the good deeds will follow a person. So let us not be deceived by the ownership of the dunya. In this ayah, ayah 26 of Surah Al-Furqan, it begins with the word Al-Mulk. Al-Mulk means real sovereignty. Now here, the Al, Alif and Lam, before the word Mulk, it's as if it is soaked with all these attributes. It refers to all types of kingdoms, all types of dominions. That Allah is the owner of people. Allah is the owner of their hearts. Allah is the owner of our wealth, the owner of the heavens and the earth and everything. And He controls them also. So this is the real kingdom. This kingdom is perfect. And it will never finish. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention about the Day of Judgment? Because it makes us understand the value of everything. And so that we do not underestimate Allah's power. In dunya and akhirah, Allah is the real king. But in dunya, we will be tested to check if we believe in Allah's kingdom. Because in dunya, we can't see Allah as a king. But in the akhirah, all the questions will be answered. And then the word al-haq in ayah 26. And that is with truth. In reality, this kingdom is for Allah. And it is the truth. Everything else is fake, not perfect, because it will perish. So this is a test. The true dominion is for Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between it. Thereafter, the word Ar-Rahman is used in this ayah, Lir-Rahman, for the most compassionate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the name Ar-Rahman for the dominion and for the day of judgment and for the truth. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true owner and the king of the day of judgment, yet He is most merciful. More merciful than the mother to her child, or more merciful than how you are to yourself. His mercy encompasses everybody. This is a general mercy. I'll give you an example. You have a king who commands and punishes and rewards. So people are scared of him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself Ar-Rahman in order to tell us that he controls everything. And he has the accounts in his hand. And he will deal with everyone with mercy. Allah is merciful before he will be angry. And on the day of judgment, believers will have a special mercy from Allah, because Allah will forgive them their sins, He will protect them from the honors of the horrors of day of judgment, and He will take them to Jannah. Even the disbelievers will realize how merciful Allah is to them. So on the day of judgment, all the veils will be lifted. They will see the realities of everything. In the dunya, they had closed their eyes to these. They were too indulged in the dunya, so they did not pay attention to Allah's general mercy, and so they didn't benefit. In Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. It will be said to the sinners, indeed, you were heedless of this. Now we have removed your covering, and sharp is your sight this day. Allahu Akbar. We need to see the reality now. When Allah tells us to know Him through reading the Quran, through His divine names and attributes, then you will know who you are dealing with and you will benefit from all the divine names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know about Allah's mercy, you will long for His mercy. When you know about His nurturing, you will wait for the nurturing from Allah. Every name of Allah has an impact on you and it affects your ibadah. So I need to know Allah and I need to know how He is dealing with me so that I can draw closer to Allah through worship. This is the test. But the disbeliever will not enjoy knowing Allah. So they're miserable in dunya. And on the day of judgment, they will see the reality. So Allah's mercy is, number one, vast. Secondly, that Allah is more merciful than a mother to her child. And thirdly, that Allah's mercy precedes His anger. I want us to see how it matches now with Surah Al-Fatiha. In Surah Al-Fatiha we say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. All the praises and thanks be to Allah,
The Lord of the Alameen, meaning mankind, jinn, and all that exists. The most gracious, the most merciful. The only owner of the day of resurrection. Dearest listeners, we only have this life to increase our faith by knowing Allah, by worshipping Him. On the Day of Judgment, you will not be able to change your test paper. You don't get a chance to rewrite the exam on the Day of Judgment. The manners of belief are to know and believe in Allah. And this is what will make us to worship and adore Allah, to love Him, to hope from Him, to fear Him. And that is why we need to know and believe and worship Allah. And so that's why it's not allowed to think beyond what Allah is telling us about His mercy, or to resemble it to others. Because our minds will not be able to take it. We will not be able to comprehend. Our duty, our job, our mission is to believe in the names of Allah and worship Him. Not to ask how. We must believe with certainty. So that day will be very difficult for the disbelievers. The last word in this ayah is asira, and that can mean something knotted up or something very difficult. If someone didn't fear Allah in dunya, however, that day, the day of resurrection, that person will fear Allah. Right now, we have time to study for the exam. But if someone didn't do that, that person will come on the Day of Judgment full of fear and just wish that the earth would swallow them up. While we are alive, while we have breath, we are in exam mode. The results will be out the minute we face death. So we can see and understand why life is a great deception. May Allah protect us. The believer will get good news when he or she dies, and they will be so happy. And then on the Day of Judgment, they will get more glad tidings until they reach paradise. May Allah make us and our progeny from amongst them. Ameen. And the disbeliever's hardship and distress will keep increasing until they reach the hellfire, when they will know how merciful Allah was with them, how many chances they skipped with their lives. They will realize their mistake, but they will be in too much of misery. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. Ameen. Now, moving to ayah 27 of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَوْمَ يَعُضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. And beware of the day the wrongdoer will bite his nails in regret and say, oh, I wish I had followed the way along with the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So see what will happen to this person on the Day of Judgment. See how much he or she will regret. In the dunya, when we regret something, we may bite our lips or the tips of our fingers or pull at our hair. But on the Day of Judgment, a person will bite at their hands. They won't know what to do with themselves. They will blame and accuse themselves out of their sorrow, anger and pain. May Allah protect us from this. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this person a zalim, meaning unfair to himself or herself, that they did wrong to themselves, that they were unmerciful to their own selves because of doing kufr and shirk and by sinning. So the person, him or herself, is the cause of their own destruction because they ignored the reality. And the reality is that we need to believe and submit. In dunya, we need to love ourselves by taking us to the way of salvation. What will the zalim wish for on that day? two words I want us to look at. The one is later, impossible wishes, right? And the other is la'alla, hoping for something possible. So the first wish, I wish I had taken the way of the messengers alayhim as-salam, the way of the truth. A person can't do anything on the Day of Judgment, right? It's only a day of results. Surah Al-Furqan mentions about the doubts of the disbelievers regarding the messengers, right? Like they would ask, why don't we have an angel as a messenger? But on the Day of Judgment, they will wish they had not doubted the messengers. From a hadith, we know that all of Rasulullah's nation will enter paradise except those who refuse. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in asked, who are the ones who will refuse? The ones who obeyed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter paradise, and the ones who disobeyed him will refuse. May Allah protect us from this. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Join us after the break and I'll be introducing you to our esteemed guests on the program today. Stay with us. We're into our last segment of this hour and we're so glad that you're with us, and I'm sure you're looking forward to hearing from our esteemed guests as I am. Now, we're going to take one more ayah of Surah Al-Furqan today before we wrap up with that. And this is ayah 28, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still about the theme or talking to us, teaching us about the disbelievers, says, woe to me. I wish I had never taken so-and-so as a friend. So here in ayah 28, wail, woe to me. Meaning this is when a person calls against himself or herself for destruction. So earlier we talked about the first wish. They wish that they did not doubt in this dunya. The second wish is that they wish they hadn't taken so-and-so as a friend. So the disbelievers' mistakes are coming as wishes on the Day of Judgment. Right? We also see in this ayah, the last word is the word khalila. Khalila. Khalila means very close and very dear, very beloved friend, someone you are connected to all the time. And then we have the word sadiq, which is, it's not in this ayah, but to explain the depth of the word khalil. So the word sadiq is friend. Wali is a super friend, a helper, a giver of victory. But in this ayah, the word is khalila. And khalila means very close, very dear, very beloved, someone you're connected to all the time. We know, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam is referred to as khalilullah, right? So from the hadith, we know that man is on the deen of his khalil. So let everyone look at who they are taking as khalil. Who is your khalil? If your khalil is a sinner, it will have that effect on you. So we need to take very, very good friends in our circle. Friends are very important in Islam because they encourage us on the way to Allah. You will know the person when you see their friend. In Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayah 67, we learn, Al-akhillau. الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. Friends on that day will be foes one to another, except المتقين, except the pious. So if you are friends with the متقين, Allah will make them a friend for you even on the Day of Judgment. May Allah grant us good and righteous companions, and may Allah grant us such a life in which our friends are righteous people in dunya and on that day and in Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So important, not just for our children, but really for us as adults as well, to have good friends as our companions. May Allah grant us such and our children as well. Ameen. We're now going to be hearing from our guest, and our guest today is Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. Sheikh is an author, an imam, and the research manager at Yaqeen Institute. Our topic is the merciful heart, and so we asked Sheikh three questions. Firstly, please explain the difference between the two divine names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. We then asked Sheikh,
what needs to happen for us to become the true servants of Ar-Rahman. And lastly, we ask Sheikh to tell us more about the link between Tazkiyah and Rahmah. We'll be hearing more from our esteemed guest, Sheikh Ismail Kamdar, author, research manager at Yaqeen Institute and Imam, as he takes us through the topic on the merciful heart. I look forward to connecting with you again next week, inshallah, as we continue our series on the heart and the gems of Surah Al-Furqan. Next up, we hear from Sheikh Ismail Kamdar on the topic, the merciful heart. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So regarding the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, there are many opinions about this, but what seems to be the strongest view is that Ar-Rahman refers to Allah's general infinite mercy that applies to all of His creation. So all of the mercy that we see in this world, the rahmah that encompasses all of creation, including the non-Muslims, right, that they receive their rizq in this world and they've given long lives to make tawbah and to turn around and to find the truth. All of this is from the rahmah of Ar-Rahman. While Ar-Rahim refers to Allah's specific everlasting mercy in the afterlife for those who accept the truth, for the believers, for the Muslims. So the difference, and again, this is just one opinion, there are other opinions out there as well, but the most common opinion, or rather the strongest opinion, is that Ar-Rahman refers to Allah's infinite mercy that applies to all of His creation, and Ar-Rahim refers to Allah's specific mercy for the believers. So there are things from Allah's rahmah that everyone receives. For example, our rizq. All of creation receives their rizq from Allah, and this is part of the rahmah of Allah, even if that specific creation is disobedient or a disbeliever. And there are other parts of Allah's rahmah that is exclusive to those who believe in Him and obey Him, like gaining divine assistance, like having one's du'as answered, like experiencing miracles, and of course entry into paradise and everlasting bliss. These are from the special rahmahs for the awliya, for those who believe in Allah and worship Him. So this is the main difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Regarding the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, those who sincerely worship Ar-Rahman, it's a beautiful passage in Surah Al-Furqan, but just to put it in context, in this portion of the Quran, we have three surahs in a row. Surah Al-Mu'minun, which gives us the qualities of the true believers. That is, you pray your salah, you give your zakah, you lower your gaze. These are the qualities of being a true believer. Then the next surah, Surah Nur, gives us the qualities of haya, right? The qualities of living a life of dignity and modesty, right? Like avoiding zina and not entering people's homes without permission and lowering one's gaze and observing hijab. And then the third surah, and these surahs come one after the other, Surah Al-Furqan, gives us the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, the qualities of the awliya. So these are different levels in our faith, that at the very least we are expected to become mu'minun, to become true believers, to become from those who worship Allah, pray their salah, discharge their zakah, who do the bare minimum. But higher than that, we then expected to become people of haya, people who lower their gaze, observe hijab, avoid zina, things like this. And even higher than that, if you want to attain the highest rewards in paradise, that which no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined, then we aim to be from Ibadur Rahman. So the qualities of Ibadur Rahman are listed at the end of Surah Al-Furqan from verse 63 onwards, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as those who have humility. And this is amongst the hardest qualities to gain, to be from the people of humility, to be from those who do not have any kibr, any arrogance in our heart. And then number two, to be from those who avoid fights, that when people try to fight with us, we just say peace. Number three is tahajjud. So to be a true believer, you need to pray five times a day. to be from those who are close to Ar-Rahman, you have to pray the Tahajjud, the Qiyamul Layl as well. Then the fourth quality is to make dua for protection from the hellfire. So those who are truly pious do not feel safe from the hellfire. They feel compelled to ask Allah for protection from it because their humility makes them feel like they are not good enough and they need to seek protection from the hellfire. The next quality is that they have found a balance between charity and spending on their family. So they are not wasteful, nor are they stingy, but they have found a balanced middle path when it comes to taking care of their wealth. The sixth quality is that they avoid the major sins. And if they have committed the major sins in the past, then they have made sincere tawbah from it. So either complete avoidance of the major sins or complete tawbah for one's past major sins can elevate one to the level of Ibadur Rahman. The next quality is that they are not false witnesses, meaning they would never be a false witness in a case, and it also means that they will not get involved in anything that wastes time or anything that would be held against them on the Day of Judgment. And the final quality mentioned in the surah is that they make dua for their families, that Allah makes their families from the righteous as well, and this is a very beautiful dua. رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَزُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. It translates as, O our Lord, gift us such spouses and children that will be the delight of our eyes, and make all of us the leaders of the righteous, make all of us good examples for the pious. So these are the qualities listed of Ibadur Rahman towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan. Finally, we have the issue of tazkiyah, right? To purify one's soul. What's the link between that and Allah's rahmah? Well, you know, some people say if Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, then what's the point of doing good deeds? Allah's going to forgive us anyway. But that's not a correct attitude to have. It's possible. It's possible that Allah may forgive someone even if they have no good deeds. But that's not the norm. The norm is you need to do something to activate that forgiveness and to activate the rahmah. And that something is to work on oneself, to work on improving one's quality and oneself, to do something to improve one's nafs. So the science of tazkiyatun nafs or tasawwuf, of purifying one's soul, this is something that one has to continuously engage with throughout one's life. That every time we commit a sin, we do istighfar, we seek Allah's forgiveness. Anytime we fall into major sin, we do tawbah, we repent. And that every day we increase our good deeds and we work to decrease our sins. These are the type of things that earn Allah's rahmah. And when we do things like this, then we activate that rahmah in our lives. Now, if we choose to just live lives of sin, lives of being unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or pretending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist, and then to think that we are still deserving of Allah's mercy and forgiveness after that, this is disrespectful towards who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It is still possible that Allah can forgive someone who is living a life like that. It is possible, because Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. But it's not wise to choose that lifestyle, because you don't know if you're going to be forgiven or not. Rather, the wise thing to do is to do whatever is necessary to activate that rahmah. And that means to increase our good deeds, to decrease our sins, and to spend our lives in trying to purify our souls. Each and every one of us have things in our souls that are messed up, and we need to get rid of them. And that's why when we look at the qualities of Ibadur Rahman in Surah Al-Furqan, a lot of it is to do with the purification of the soul. It begins with humility. Right, it takes purification of the soul to gain humility. Then there's tahajjud. Tahajjud is the main way to purify our soul. Then there's tawbah, which is also part of purification of the soul. Then there's avoiding things that waste time. You notice all of these qualities are the qualities that you would learn when you are studying purification of the soul. So tazkiyah is crucial for activating Allah's rahmah, and so we can experience that rahmah in this world and the next.